Hey, it's Rob Riggle.
And Sarah Tiana.
And you are listening to Riggle's Pit.
Yeah, and a ham horn, and we have a new podcast. You can find our show exclusively on the Podcast One app on podcastonesports.com. And don't forget to rate, review, and subscribe on Apple Podcasts.
Every Thursday, we're going to sit around and we're going to talk about the things that really excite us, like life, comedy, sports, a lot of sports.
Ourselves.
A lot of Sarah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Kim Jong-un.
Yeah.
Whatever. It's going to be a lot of fun. I hope you join us.
This is Corolla Digital.
A master carpenter who's here to help you out. If you can't fix it, then let A show you how. A's on the house.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get it on. No choice but to get on mandate. Get it on. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for telling a friend. I'm Adam Carolla. That's Stromer over
there.
Yes,
sir.
Ace on the house.
It's here.
Man.
It's here. It's in 3D radio, isn't it?
What are you working on, man?
Man, I'm working on here. So here's what happened. I got myself a chainsaw last week. I bought myself a steel little single handheld chainsaw, right?
Gas powered.
And here's the problem. You get so incredibly intoxicated. It's intoxicating to cut shit down.
Yeah.
And I just couldn't stop. And by the end of the day one, I'd cut so much down that my wife came out and was like, what are you doing, man?
Right.
Like, now we see the neighbor and he's in the Speedo again and the Crocs.
Yep.
And it's not working for me.
Yep.
But I couldn't stop, man.
No, I have this thing. I mean, I'm sort of half kidding about it, but it's kind of true, which is like Jimmy's cousin Sal got one of those like taser, electronic taser things. I don't know why.
Like a real taser?
Well, it was pretty real. Felt real.
You get tased?
Yeah, he brought it into the man show. Everyone got tased. Like, that's why cops commit suicide at a super high rate, because they have a gun on them the time.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
That's a good point.
And they just go, like, you and I probably impulsively would like to kill ourselves like three or four times a week.
But we start
feeling around and there's nothing. Like, we grab a throw pillow, like smash it over our face,
right.
Something. Or, I'm going in the swimming pool, I'm going to hold my breath.
That's right.
But you come up for air. You know, but what if you had this gun?
It makes a difference.
You'd be
gone.
You're
right. It's a very good point.
Right. So
same old's true with the chainsaw. Yeah.
I got to say, it's funny that you bring up chainsaw.
Yeah.
I was at the shop on Saturday just organizing, and I just heard that from the outside of the shop, like next door, I just heard that centrifugal clutch sound, old school chainsaw,
sure.
And then
I
thought, it's kind of from my childhood. Like, I remember, and I realize what it is. The chainsaw has been replaced by the leaf blower.
Ooh.
There was no sounds of the neighborhood. There weren't douchebags on Harleys, and there weren't Mexicans and leaf blowers. There were the only thing you would hear, you wouldn't hear a rake. Occasional lawnmower, but that wasn't going on that much. But it was the sound of that chainsaw, like, I remember, like, during the day, well, a couple things. First off, everyone didn't have a goddamn gardener. The gardener was the dude, and that was Saturday.
Yeah.
That was the guy who lived at the house.
That's right.
So there was no weekday action.
Right.
So, like, when I used to say I was sick and stay home from school and just sit around in my den of my mom's crappy house, I would hear those crews, like, during the week, you know, with that chainsaw.
Like the city.
All
the city
through,
would have the crews, right.
All through the neighborhood.
Right,
no leaf blowers, no other gardening going on. Like, you know what's weird? When you're a kid, picture a gardening truck. I can't even picture a gardening truck.
You're right.
I didn't even know there were no gardeners.
No landscapers.
Not in our neighborhood. Now everyone in our neighborhood has a gardener.
Right.
But we didn't have that.
No, you're right.
Like, you had your own
shit. That's right. It became sort of pedestrian now. All of a sudden, everybody's got a gardener and can afford it, apparently. And now no one does their own chainsawing except me.
So you went at it? What'd you go
I went
at?
I went at it, and what happens with this handheld device where you only need one hand to do it is that you can get up on the ladder, precariously stand 20 feet in the air with a chainsaw with one arm leaning out over the ladder in an inappropriate style of being on a ladder, while large 75 to 300-pound limbs fall down next to you and next to your ladder.
Right. Yeah.
Widowmaker.
Yes.
Things.
Well, careful with the ladder, because we kid about it.
Yeah.
But the problem, you know, back to the gun. It's a very interesting.
back to the gun.
It's yeah. I'm interested in how people are wired, which is the pool, which is deadly for the kids, don't seem dangerous, but the gun does. So most moms. You know, statistically, most moms will let their three-year-old go to a house with a swimming pool, but they might not let their kid go to a house that had a gun.
That's a very good point, yeah.
But that's women's wiring. The pool's more dangerous than the gun is.
Right.
So, but the pool, one's the gun, the other's a pool.
Yeah, yeah,
right.
Yeah.
So the thing about the chainsaw and the ladder, the chainsaw commands respect. The ladder seems sort of inert, but the ladder is more dangerous than the chainsaw.
That's probably so, yeah.
More people, statistically, in this country, more males. Women never fall off of ladders.
Yeah.
And it's not because they have good balance. It's because they don't do a bunch of shit.
That's right.
So they don't get on the ladder in the first place.
Yeah.
But more men have been more injured and killed falling off of ladders and ladder-related incidents than been injured or killed by chainsaw.
Now, it's probably because there are more people who take a risk of climbing a ladder, obviously, because most people won't take the risk of handling the chainsaw.
Well, when they... now we're getting to my Elsinore Honda 250 whatever versus the quad runner.
Oh,
one seems inert, like one seems pretty.
You mean the tip
docile,
over aspect
the
of the
tip
ATV,
over, yeah, right? People jack themselves up royally on ATVs, but they don't look bad.
That's right.
The ladder doesn't look bad. The chainsaw and the 250 motocross bike look like, hey man,
this will hurt you.
You better have some respect here.
That's a good point.
Put your helmet on. Get your boots. Get your leathers. Don't go on that thing in cutoffs.
Yeah.
You better pad up.
Cut off some sandals.
Well, you see what people do with those ATVs.
Yeah, I do. I've flipped one before.
Everyone gets jacked up on them.
Everybody does.
Because they don't fall over when you let them go.
You're holding a six-pack, drinking, and driving with one arm on a tippy vehicle.
Got your kid on the tank.
Yeah.
All right, so...
But here's the thing. Got the chainsaw. The caveat on the chainsaw is, please, people, buy the full-face shield.
Oh.
And don't get the clear plastic shield. Get the one that's the mesh shield, that's metal.
Uh-huh.
Because what happens then, it won't scratch.
It won't fog up.
And it won't fog up. You can wear a respirator when you're clearing brush, and you won't inhale all the crap that happens with the ratchet and the Hantavirus. Mm-hmm. Don't get me started.
Yeah.
My friend just had that happen.
The Hantavirus.
Yeah. You know, from the rat turds that you clean up in the garage without the respirator.
Mm.
Bad deal.
Did not know that.
6 months later, he's still hacking and wheezing.
Really?
Yes, sir.
Jesus Christ.
So anyway, the chainsaw was beautiful. I also bought a replacement motor for a chipper that I thought was all but dead, but I just pulled the old Briggs & Stratton motor off, got one of those crappy motors from Harbor Freight.
Harbor Freight.
Which actually ripped off the Honda motor.
Mm-hmm.
Made it for $1, and it actually was like $175, and it works great. Chipper works. I got my gardening needs done.
Nice, man.
Right?
Feels good.
I felt like I did. So I'm a winner again.
You're a winner.
Again.
In your mind, yeah.
In my mind.
For sure.
That's right.
And in your heart.
And my wife won $300 at the Super Bowl party last night in a square thing. What is it called, Maddie?
He had it. Super Bowl squares.
Super Bowl squares. $300.
Sweet. See? The rich.
Plus ribs.
I keep getting richer. Matt, 31, New York.
Hey, guys.
Hey, man. What's going on?
I have been working on installing a new shower into my home.
Mm-hmm.
And against my own father, who's a carpenter's suggestion, my wife really needed a pebblestone floor in the shower.
Mm-hmm.
I literally just put this floor in last week in a shower, the pebblestone.
Yeah.
Yeah, tell me about it.
So my question is there's a ton of grout going into this, and I've never done tile projects where I use so much grout. And again, my dad's telling me not to use it because it's just going to leak water everywhere, and you can't trust them. So what my question is there some sort of super sealing product that you'd suggest rather than the basic grout sealer? Because I just don't trust it.
Prism grout, it's called. Prism. And it's made by Customs. And it goes from a 16th up to a half inch. And I just used it, and it's incredible, and it's very durable, and it will last long and not leak water.
Is it sanded?
It's sanded, and it's small. They actually put glass and silica sand in this product, so it's much finer, but it hardens up and looks fantastic, and there's no color variation.
And but it's permeable, right?
Slightly.
Slightly?
Yeah.
Okay.
Slightly. It's got acrylic in it, so it'll move a bit and a tad. But I love it, and I haven't used it before. This is my first experience because those pebbles, you get 16th all the way up to half inch all the time.
Right.
And you can't use sanded, and you can't use non-sanded because neither will work. So this is the problem.
Good answer, man.
Yeah, man.
Where do you get this? You know, it's not a Home Depot.
It'll be replaced, apparently, from manufacturer's spec within a year. No one will have the other grout anymore. There will no longer be sanded, non-sanded. It'll be this prism will take over the market.
Really?
Yeah.
That's what you said.
Yeah,
interesting.
That's right.
Hey, man.
Yeah.
How about the prism? That's a bold proclamation by Stromer.
Is. Yeah, big. I'm taking
it
over
is.
The grout world.
I laid that on some of the dudes in the front office, and a lot of them just shook their heads. Like, I said, you know, Dylan.
Stromer came in with a sleeveless leather vest and said this. This is what happened.
Sanded and unsanded. They'll be gone. Your kids will never know
a
world with sanded and unsanded grout.
How can they?
And he just shook his head. Couldn't believe it. I don't know if he's not calling you a liar.
It's almost like High Noon.
Yep.
That scene in High Noon, isn't it?
Yeah. He's calling you out.
Uh-huh.
The Dalton boys are here on the first stagecoach. Hey, Matt.
Yeah.
So, good for you.
And, kind of.
Yeah. And your dad is a contractor?
He is, yeah. And I've just kind of taken after him my whole life. And now I'm doing it all, just not professionally. But I do have a spinoff question. I have already used the basic grout.
So
you know how they have the basic sealers, and I've already done that as well, and I'm going, you know, I just don't trust this stuff.
I would use the Sealer's Choice is the brand.
Sealer's Choice.
Okay.
Sealer's Choice,
okay.
And put two coats on it and let it really thoroughly dry before you seal it.
Uh-huh.
And do that two coats and give it, I think it's a half hour between coats and 4 hour to dry totally. And I would do that, and I think you'll be okay. And then do it every couple of years, like every 3 years I would do that.
Okay, I'll have to look into that.
Yeah,
please.
Beautiful.
I have white grout in my living room and kitchen floor, and I have the terrazzo tiles. And the white grout's just always a mess.
Yeah.
It's just a mess. And I'm trying to think of a good way to, I mean, there's no way to, it's always going to be a mess, but I guess, what's the best way to clean that
phosphoric
grout?
Acid, 3:1 to water.
Now that's not
muriatic. It's phosphoric is a very mild acid, but if you let it sit on the tile, it won't etch it. It won't etch the terrazzo.
Mm-hmm.
If you mix it 3:1,
3:1
gloves, rubber gloves, goggles. And I would prefer that you would wear a respirator because we love your golden voice, the dulcet tones of your voice.
And we go at it with a nylon brush?
We go on it with a natural bristle brush always whenever
natural
you're using.
Natural bristle.
Yeah. Cause it won't break down with the acid. And melt. And then make sure that you scrub, you know, long ways with the grout joint. But the secret is to keep it wet and keep it on for a half hour. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean? If you throw it on there and then you scrub it and it dries out, it's not doing shit. It's got to literally soak, bask in it, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
And then it'll lift the stain out and at least homogenize the shitty look of all of your grout.
Mm-hmm.
So it all looks slightly grayed down.
And then sealer?
Yep, the sealer's choice. The gold stuff is the one.
It's interesting. A natural brush. I'm trying to picture now. I know what a natural brush looks like, but I'm trying to think. Like, I feel like Home Depot.
Yeah, they'll sell those. Yeah, they have them.
Like in the toothbrush variety?
Or no, you get them in the, like, it's the size that would go on the end of a mop handle. You know, so it's probably 3 by 8.
Mm-hmm.
And it can be used as a hand, like a Cinderella brush that you're scrubbing. And
right. Okay. Now I'm picturing it.
Now you got it.
Now I got it. What you guys should get is some Tommy John, man, Valentine's Day. Possibly the only day you want to be caught with your pants down. Lose those old tattered boxers and switch to Tommy John. The best. We all wear them here. We all have them here. It's the best gift. I got to tell you, people drop off stuff around here. We got books that nobody reads. We got products that nobody uses. But Tommy John, when they drop off the Tommy John, man, it gets gobbled up. TommyJohn.com. Have a limited edition Valentine's Day gift set for you right now. Redefining comfort for guys. Again, there's nobody here that doesn't use Tommy John. The legs never ride up. The waistband never rolls down. Horizontal quick draw fly. Impossible to get a wedgie. More than just underwear. It's go anywhere. Clothing, by the way, takes you from the desk to the date in just a flash. That everything that you're wearing, well, they started, I guess, with the underpants, but the socks are great and the undershirts are great. And then the sort of modern day take on the long johns are unbelievable. All backed by the best pair you'll ever wear, or it's free. Guaranteed. Tommy John, Matt.
Hurry to TommyJohn.com now and shop limited edition Valentine's Day gift sets. Plus, get 20% off your first order with promo code Adam. That's promo code Adam for 20% off at TommyJohn.com. TommyJohn.com.
He does that fast. Matt, he does that fast reading pretty good, doesn't he?
He's good.
I like him.
He's educated.
I like his work.
I met with the builder, not the architect, but the builder to talk a little.
This is the envelope house.
Yeah, which is not really the envelope house anymore. It's just sort of the high-efficiency house, but not the super high-efficiency house. We had an interesting talk about, well, first it was the envelope house, and then it was the modular house. I like the idea of modular.
Yeah.
Modular.
Bringing in each piece, crane it in, throw
it on
the slab.
I like it, but then as we started to kind of look at the design in the early renderings of the plan, started to become clear that everything is sort of poured in place. The floors are poured. The side and the back wall are all kind of retaining. Mm. And the front's kind of all glass.
Mm-hmm.
And the floors are poured. And now we're kind of getting into, well, where's the modular part? If the floors are poured, the parking, everything's poured, everything's like poured in place, and then everything else is just either retainer or glass.
So it's like your back wall and the foundation and slab are poured.
Yeah, it's going into the side of a hill.
Oh, like a bunker almost.
Like a bunker.
Yeah.
And it's going into the side of a hill and it's kind of terraced off and goes back and stuff like that. But I'm trying to think of where the modular part is.
That's right.
Which I never really thought about, because the modular is a little more for
here's a slab
in the middle of the lot, right, and then you drop it down and start bolting it together and bolting it down. Yeah. But I'm realizing if you have a poured first floor and a poured second floor, and then the back wall's all retainer into the mountain, and then the side wall's more retainer, and the two front walls, side and front wall, are just pretty much glass.
Yeah.
Where's the modular?
It's a schmodular. There is
modular. Yeah, I know. So we're trying to figure that out.
You always have these amazing feats of engineering, because I remember your house where you brought in the big plates of huge glass that I actually saw, and you guys were like carrying huge, window storefront size sheets of glass to put on the second floor.
Yeah, well, the thing about glazers is I had some work done at a house with the Glazers.
Right.
And you realize this ain't, it seems a little specialized because you're dealing with big sheets of glass and suction cups right. and stuff like that. But the reality is it's pretty much Legos. Like if you do your ordering right.
Right. And measuring.
And
obviously.
You're measuring right, right and you set your track and everything is plumb and level and everything. It's pretty straightforward. You just have to kind of figure it out. Now, my mistake is I went with a track, aluminum track for like half-inch glass
yeah.
that was just like literally like half-inch or three-quarter-inch or something.
So from the bottom up.
From the bottom track and the top track. Okay. I didn't have a lot of wiggle room in terms of lifting it in, dropping sure. it down, getting all the spacers under it. And like there's a lot to it. Like there is.
And if you're slightly off level,
well,
an eighth of an inch in 20 feet, you're screwed, right?
You are.
Yeah.
And that's why you better measure a few times. Like if you're yeah. setting, as I did, if you're setting this 3/4 inch aluminum track on the right, the left, the top, and the bottom, the span's 20 feet
yeah.
or more, and the height is like 8 feet. And you're not giving you're calculating like how big each,
yeah.
you know, maybe four or five sheets of glass and what the width and what the height should be to lift up and drop in
yeah.
and get to that last piece and have it lift up and drop in and cover on the side.
That's it.
With the right gap.
Were you, right were you nervous through it, Prof? Did you keep remeasuring each piece?
Well, once you order it, you just order it.
Yeah.
You know, that's it. Like, yeah. you better hope you
what
didn't
did
screw
you, what
up.
What do you do between the pieces? Like
between the glass. And so it all seems kind of hairy and specialized, but the reality is you leave about an 8/3/16 in between the glass, and you just fill it with clear silicone.
Yeah,
you know?
But what you're not speaking of is that you were carrying them on suction cups up on a precarious outcropping, weren't you? I mean, it wasn't
yeah,
like...
Yeah, I took a genie lift. Genie yeah. lifts don't...
Anytime you use the word genie lift in glass, I get a little nervous.
Genie lifts don't have a they have two arms that stick out,
right.
like a forklift,
right.
but they don't really have a back
no,
on
they don't.
Them. So I had to build a back because these big sheets would be leaning against the back.
That's right.
And we'd just crank them up and put them up through the hole in the floor to the second floor.
Right.
And the other thing that's really disconcerting, but it works, you can't let any of the glass sit, you know, catch onto the cement or
yeah.
catch an edge or anything like that.
Right.
It'll just shatter. But also, it's weird when you take suction cups with, you know, and you give it 3 or 4 squeezes with your thumb, and then you proceed to grab onto that suction cup with both hands and lift as hard as you can because the glass is like 300, 400 pounds a sheet. And you're totally convinced that thing's just going to pop
well,
off and you're going to go sailing off the deck.
I know. Or that, yeah, and that people carry those things up multiple flights of stairs or on the edge of skyscrapers, and you can't believe that more people aren't decapitated Omen style.
Yeah.
With that sheet flying down through the sky, right? I can't believe you did this, which begs the question, does your design sometimes become too ambitious? And do you think that you just do it and screw it and I'm going to just make this thing work? Or are you thinking 5 steps ahead and seeing that this glass debacle is going to show up?
Debacle's a debacle?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's the one I meant.
I don't know. I just sort of look at stuff. I oftentimes let somebody do something and then I go, that was expensive.
Yeah.
And then I go, and I watch them when they do it, and I go, first off, the guys they send to your house are always idiots.
Right.
So you go, okay, this guy's an idiot.
Right.
That was expensive.
Yeah.
I think next time I'll do it.
Right.
I see what they're doing.
Yeah.
It's not really rocket science, but you also don't want to screw it up.
Right.
And then I did it. I did a lot of glass.
Is there going to be this kind of glass installation on this new house?
I'm assuming it's going to be a double pained situation.
Yeah.
Like a free unit, like a unit that will be installed versus glass. I don't know. Here's an interesting thing, Matt. Half inch worth of glass, R value, versus a double glazed window. What is the difference? I imagine
air separation.
Yeah, sure, right. But what's the R value difference? I imagine the
huge amount.
I would imagine huge too. Yeah. But on the other hand, I feel like almost every commercial building is just a single glazed.
Oh, that's a good point.
Or older commercial buildings
You're
are
right.
all just single glazed,
that's
right?
True. Yeah.
I guess. I mean,
all
those
the big, like Vegas hotels, it's a big solid 3/4, 5/8 at least piece of glass.
Yeah, I guess, right? I don't know. We're going to look into
this.
We're going to look into this. All right. I got some info for you. But first, I'll tell you about Danner Boots, man. Born from logging and exploration. Danner is a Pacific Northwest original. Every boot is handmade to hold up in unforgiving conditions. And it's a good-looking boot, too. And it's got a nice sole on. It's not a old construction boots and work boots, you get up on a plywooded roof and you'd slide.
That's right.
Right off because they were like plasticky.
Yeah.
This is rubbery.
It grips.
Gription. Stronghold work boot, man. 85 years of legendary quality, durability meets modern construction, technology, and materials. It's tomorrow's classic today. And you should look up the Stronghold work boot. Find your find it at your local store at danner.com. But just go to Danner, D-A-N-N-E-R.com, and just look how good that boot is, man. And that's a tool. That's part. You wouldn't use a really crappy jigsaw, right? You get a good Bosch jigsaw.
You could wear that boot out
Absolutely.
Socially if you wanted. It's nice looking.
It can, hipsters. Danner.com. All right, Matt, if you find anything, just hold a thumbs up.
Yep, I got half of what we're looking for, not the other half. So
what
far
half?
I've found that the half inch of glass has an R value of about 1.25.
1.25.
I'm looking for double glazing. Some of the ones I'm seeing here are putting it at 2.73.
Ooh.
Does that sound right?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's twice or whatever.
Yeah.
Or a little more than twice. Like, it makes sense that it's more.
So it seems to be on the low end. I've seen ones that are higher than 2.73.
Well, maybe it's like three times.
Lower.
Okay.
I wonder if these large sheets of glass on the skyscrapers have a very thin or small air gap between the panes, the laminate panes.
I would bet you.
Because they have to be impact resistant, too.
I bet you that the newer fangled ones do.
Yeah.
I bet. But the old school ones and like all the storefronts in Beverly Hills and all that kind of stuff, those are just big sheets
of glass.
They're
still kind of shaky a little bit when you push on them.
Hey, Ken, 49, Dallas.
Hey, I haven't done all the research on the vacuum house or whatever you're doing. Envelope house. But besides radiant barrier and spray foam insulation, what are some of the top things to incorporate in building a house that you want to be as efficient as possible?
You're talking about building from the ground up?
Right.
Well, the aforementioned windows and doors.
Clear
story. Windows are awesome.
Big deal. What's that?
The clear story windows where it's almost like a ventilation system so that you're utilizing the positioning of the house to the sun so that in specific parts of the day, those windows can vent, letting out the heat as the home heats up.
So they literally open up?
Correct.
Yeah, yeah. There's also, Stromer's right in that there's actual, first off, just sort of position of the house.
Right.
What way you're going to face the house, depending on where you're building, what part of the country you're going to build the house in. But that makes a difference, man.
Sun's got to work for you, not against you. You know.
That's right. And for you in the wintertime, but not against you in the summertime.
Correct.
And I got to tell you, my first apartment. These are weird things that you don't really think about, especially if you don't move in the dog days of summer. But my first apartment on Laurel Canyon, second story, faced the west, first apartment in a 6-unit building, and that sun would just hit it from 11 in the morning, literally until it went down. No buildings in front of it, right. no tree, no shade. I could see the sun like go down at 8:30 at night, you know.
Yeah.
And it would just stucco. You could fry an egg on it. It was broiling. The inside of the place was broiling. Like, it was just... Now, if you were down on the first floor and in the back of the building, you didn't get any of this.
Right.
And we just moved in like October or something. Didn't even think about it. And then this kicked in.
Yeah.
And it was brutal.
It's the worst.
So that's a real important factor. Like, literally... You know, your house, you know, it's a car that you park either out in an open parking lot or a covered parking.
Good
and
point.
And what's the difference between you sitting in it and being able to make phone calls and you dying of heat stroke? And it's like, well, could you find some shade?
Right.
So
also, you know, the other thing that I think people are starting to get hip to, generators built in from the beginning of the construction, because we're really starting to see climatic conditions that alter the way our weather patterns are, obviously, and blackouts, and, you know, this kind of stuff happens more often than not lately.
I would definitely do the generator, battery storage, like all the stuff to make your house sort of sufficient,
yeah.
Efficient and self-sufficient.
Right.
Ken?
Yeah, thanks.
And then, yeah, you got it. I mean, it's all the insulation stuff, all the venting stuff, all the sort of how the house is situated stuff. And you can keep going. Like, Ed Begley Jr. has a huge tank in the back of his house to capture all the rainwater and all that stuff.
Sure.
But go ahead, Ken.
Air conditioning seems to be the biggest bill. Is there any, I've heard of people like taking like ABS pipe and running it around the foundation. This is up in the Midwest, so you've got your eight foot in the ground anyway, running like ABS around the foundation where the dirt, the soil's normally always 55 or so degrees, and then using that air to pull into your air handler is, you know, so you're not,
yeah,
you're already dealing with a cooler air temperature.
Yeah.
I don't know. You know, that seems like the biggest bill is the AC. So I don't know if there's, and I haven't, like I said, checked into your envelope house or how, you know, what the advantages are of sealing everything off like that.
Well, I'm not doing an envelope house, but I'm doing a high efficiency house. But here's the thing. Everything helps. And then the question is, what really works? So here's the thing. I like to talk about cars. Now, there's a lot of stuff like people will go, well, I got a cat-back exhaust system installed, and I got a cold air intake in the front, and I did X, Y, and Z, and you spent $3,000, $4,000, $5,000, and you got 11 horsepower out of the deal. You know, and my thing is like, I like all that stuff, but you don't, there's not a big gain. Now, if you wanted to add a blower or turbocharger or something like that, you could get 100 horsepower or 150 horsepower out of that, and that might be the same amount. I mean, you might get a kit for $3,000 or $4,000 or $5,000 and bolt it on or what have you. So it's like, to me, I like all the stuff, but let's really, since we can't live in a world where you can just afford to do everything, figure out the stuff that makes an impact, and then not so much with the stuff that doesn't make an impact that can also be pretty expensive.
Sure.
And so you don't end up going 100% because 100% is pretty expensive.
Mm.
You just go 85%, and that last 15%, don't worry about it,
yeah,
because that's the expensive part.
And the 85% as it pertains to HVAC systems would be multiple climate zones so that you can seal off parts of the house you're not occupying to heat or air condition the areas
right.
that you are living in. So to Adam's point, I think that would be a great, you know, compromise in terms of everything that you can do with the HVAC system.
And all the stuff that's insulated as best it can and all
that's
vented
right.
the best it can. I do like those whole house vents. And I also, it's kind of interesting, no one uses them in a non-commercial environment, but it's kind of interesting. I don't know if it would work or not. They have these giant mega fans that you see in all these Build It shows. I think it's called the Big Ass Fan Company or something. And it'll be like, if you go to Leno's shop, you know, someplace where you have 25,000 square feet, you see this like huge fan, like, and it just
it's like a whirly, howitzer helicopter, whatever they're called, right?
It's howitzer's a cannon.
Well, you know, what's the helicopter called? The big one, the huge fan.
Huey.
Yeah, Huey.
It's all right. It's a burden knowing everything. It's not, I don't think they go that hard. I think they just move, but there's giant volume, right? And if you're in a shop where you don't have air conditioning and it gets really hot in that shop, you turn this thing on and it works.
It does, yeah.
And I don't know what it would look like.
Well, the big ass fans are really attractive design wise. They really have a lovely.
I'm trying to think of what it would look like in the middle of your living room.
If it's a high enough ceiling, I think it would be really cool.
I think it'd be cool too. Yeah. Not, you know, maybe not if the house was a colonial,
no,
or something
it's
like that.
Have
a modern
yeah,
vibe to it.
Yeah.
And you get one of these fans with the 10-foot wingspan.
That's it. That's going to change your life. Internal air quality.
That's interesting.
And, you know, to that, not only are you looking for efficiency, but you're looking for interior air quality. So that means you don't want to buy materials that are off-gassing, like Tempur-Pedic pillows and old traditional carpets that have, you know, the capability of off-gassing, plywoods or melamine that has the same kind of thing with the adhesives coming out and filling your environment all the time. I feel like that's a potential issue down the road.
And you may want to look melamine, into
that. Yeah. Bad stuff.
I just have to deal with that stuff all the time.
Yeah.
The
fine particulates of cutting melamine on a table saw can really mess with your lungs.
I used to have to deal with that because when I work for Always Better Closets.
Yeah.
ABC Closets. Always Better
that
Closets.
That is almost like the guy from... Modern Family is in the closet business.
Closets. Yeah. I know. I can't enjoy the show because I'm like, every time they go to his closet business, I'm like, they do that on a multi-hole driller. They wouldn't do that by hand. This doesn't make
sense
to me.
Again, the burden of knowing everything.
It's the burden, man. We used to use melamine. We had a panel saw.
Yeah.
I guess the panel saw is the one where you could cut it vertically and horizontally, I think. Look up
like,
panel
oh, the,
saw.
Oh, the one you? That's at the big box store that they'll cut your plywood for you.
Yeah, but this was an industrial grade panel saw.
Yeah, yeah.
You'd take this 4x8 sheets of melamine, you'd cut all in the panel saw, and then...
With no respirator.
Probably. No.
No,
and
God,
then
no.
And then you would run it through an edge bander. Yeah, it's a panel saw, okay.
There it is.
They'd run it through an edge bander. Now, we had a mega panel saw. You'd run this thing through an edge bander, then you'd run it through a multi-hole driller, and then...
Oh, for the pegs, for the adjustable shelving, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the multi-hole driller would also work for the Euro hinges.
Oh, sure.
Because they're all on this 32-millimeter span deal. Everything was on this Euro 32-millimeter thing.
Yeah.
And then I would go install the closets in rich people's houses.
Mm-hmm. How was it? How many years did you do that?
You know these people, I call them assholes. They're like, oh, Always Better Closets? That would have been August 21st, 1988. I think I quit on December 2nd, 89. Like, are those people? If you ask me, I was like, let's see. I remember a couple things. I remember, you could figure this out. Matt will figure it out.
Yeah.
I rode a Ninja 600 motorcycle at the time. I remember that. I had a girlfriend that lived on the west side. I remember that because I could remember having to be in Burbank by the airport at 7 a.m.
Yeah.
And she lived by she was like Beverly Hills adjacent. She was like by the Ivy.
Sure.
By the whatever, the big...
Some say at the time the hottest night spot in town, Ivy.
Hottest restaurant, but I've never been there.
Yeah.
But, I mean, not when I was poor, but
no.
I remember I had to get up at like 6 and get on this bike. And if you...
After another exhausting evening of lovemaking, obviously.
Oh, it's
anyway,
exhausting.
Go ahead.
Hey, you know, if you... You want to know something funny, Matt, the Porcelain Punisher Fondelier?
Tell me.
If you weighs it from Always Better Closets in Burbank to the Ivy, I mean, her part was like behind the Ivy, yeah. but it was somewhere in there, to the Ivy, you will find a very long route, Matt, where I do not believe you'll ever get on a freeway.
And that's the one you took on the Ninja.
There was nothing to do. It was like one's on one side of town, the other's the other side of town, and we have freeways going everywhere out here, but you could not use a freeway to get there. I don't, you know, now maybe with the Waze it would take you all the way that way and bring you all the way, but I remember just being on this bike. Getting up at, you know, be freezing outside. Sure. I didn't have gloves or anything. You know, I'd just get on this bike at like 6:15 in the morning or something. Yeah. And I'd have to make my way over the hill and into
through
Burbank.
Through Laurel Canyon or something
you did? Laurel Canyon. Yeah, yeah. And I would then hook up with all these born-again gangbangers who worked there because he would hire from the church that had the born-again gangbanger guys.
Yeah.
And they would travel with their Bibles and ask for like traveling mercy and stuff when we got in the cube van. And I was there to install. So these guys didn't really have carpentry skills, and a lot of the installs involved some carpentry chops.
So you became the go-to boss of the crew, I would assume.
Kind of, although we still had to listen to Christian radio.
Ooh,
because
hell on
it was just me and these three guys, and they all want to listen to Christian radio.
That's right.
And,
to keep from killing in their neighborhood.
And I would, my move was a good day, like the best day ever. And I, of course, I'd show up at 7 a.m., but I was up late the night before. I didn't get any sleep. You know, I was in no mood. And I would just show up. Already, like, ready to take a nap, you know?
Yeah.
And the best day is when they'd go, like, I'd go, like, what do we got today? Where are we installing? And every once in a while, we'd go, we're going to the marina. And I'd be like, we're in deep Burbank. Like, we're right by the airport.
Right.
It's 7 a.m. We're going down to the marina. Like, that's at least 90 minutes. At least.
Take up the day, you mean.
And I would open that roll door on that cube van.
Yeah.
Big cube truck. And I had furniture pads.
Sure.
I make a bed.
Nice.
I make a bed for myself. And that, to me, that was the greatest news ever. Like, oh my God.
That's 180 minutes of napping.
Make a pillow.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I just lay on the floor of the cube truck while it was just, you know, and the born agains were driving it.
Yeah.
And I'd be like, I could feel like we'd stop, and then we must be getting on the freeway.
Sure.
I wonder if it's the 5.
Yeah.
Traffic.
Yeah.
Traffic. We're not moving.
Longer nap time.
We're not moving. I look forward to that nap on those furniture pads in the back of that truck. That was awesome for me.
It's fantastic.
I must have worked there. I probably worked there about a year, year and a half.
Did they try and promote you, you think, or did you quit before the...
There wasn't really any promotion.
That was it.
There was just these guys milled it all in the shop.
Oh, okay.
I milled it on occasion, and I was there to like unload the melamine truck on occasion.
Right.
But I mainly was in charge of installation. And I guess I was there about a year, year and a half. Matt, have you figured out... Does this involve a freeway?
Yeah, there is a way to get from Burbank to the Ivy without taking a freeway. And just to kind of sum it up, you'd basically, from the valley, you'd take Vineland down past Ventura when you kind of get into those hills. And then you'd start winding around and making your way toward Laurel. And then you wind around Laurel and you make your way toward Crescent Heights. And then you wind your way through Crescent Heights. And then you're kind of in the
Melrose District. What is the freeway version? Because I would have loved to have used it back then. We didn't have any Waze or cell phones or anything.
You just kind of went with your gut, didn't you, back in the day?
I couldn't figure out any better way than Laurel Canyon. I also got pulled over in got my bike
impounded
on Laurel Canyon as well. Yeah, it was awesome.
You ever been in the jail, have you?
Yeah, I have.
And what was the offense? Murder.
The offense was I have many stories about my family and that sort of encapsulate who they are, and I think this is one of them. I never had any money.
Yeah.
And I was a big fuck up. Like, I didn't know how to, like, write and fill out stuff and hand in stuff. Like, I just couldn't. Like, if even later on in life, when, like, Jimmy and I would travel and we go to Canada or something and they have these forms of declaration and stuff, sure. Jimmy'd always go, give me that. And he'd just fill out his and mine, like flight numbers. Because my flight number would be on the line for my last name. That's and my last name would be on the flight number. I was like a caveman lawyer guy. Like, I couldn't do things. If I got a ticket, I just sort of looked at it for a while and then eventually just threw it away. Like,
in the bottom of the truck.
I couldn't fill out. I didn't file for taxes. Sure. Nothing. And eventually it became evident to me that I had a warrant. And I had a warrant for like $600.
Yeah.
And I was riding a motorcycle, not the Ninja, but another motorcycle before the Ninja. I had a motorcycle, and I was working at a place called Hoffman Travel on Ventura Boulevard, just filling out envelopes or handing stuff to couriers or something like that. I wasn't doing any travel booking or anything like that. I was just like keeping charge of the envelopes on a folding table. And I was having dinner at my mom's house on a Sunday night, and I decided to kind of test the waters. Like, I was going to see what she would say. I never asked my parents for any money or anything like that and pay for anything, and they were all super cheap, and nobody did anything. But I thought maybe my mom and my stepdad, who had some money, I mean, a little money, he had a job and stuff, like, maybe they would find mercy, like, in their heart. So I said something like, yeah, I'm pretty nervous about riding into work and everything because I got these warrants and it's like $600, yeah, and I don't have any money. I just started this job, thinking maybe mom keep me out of jail. And I was kind of half hoping that she'd go like, what? Yeah. No, I don't want you out there with warrants. How much is it?
Right.
$600. Okay. Okay, we'll pay the warrant off, and then you pay us $100 a month for the next 6 months or something. Or she would have probably tacked a little interest on there as
That's
well,
right.
But whatever. But so I was sort of doing the, man, I'm so uncomfortable about traveling on my motorcycle because of these warrants. And if I get pulled over, I'll get arrested. And boy, is this very unsatisfying, you know? And she said,
please pass the butter.
No, she wouldn't use butter, but yeah. No, she looked at me and I said, yeah, you know, I got to go into work on Ventura Boulevard every day. And, you know, Ventura Boulevard, there's cops all over the place. They pull people over all the time on Ventura Boulevard. And she said, yeah, I'll tell you what, let me see if I can help. And I said, yeah. And she said, Valley Heart runs along Ventura Boulevard. It's like a side street, and there's no cops on it.
Right.
So instead of going up to Ventura Boulevard, you take Valley Heart, and you take that all the way down to, you know, Cahuenga or whatever, then turn up. So that was her contribution.
She was aiding and abetting a felon.
Yeah. The following morning, I got on Valley Heart. As fate would have it, I got on Valley Heart, and I started taking it. Cop pulled me over. Yeah. And I got arrested. And I said, what are you guys doing over here? You know, I thought you were supposed to be on Ventura Boulevard. And he said, a lot of folks are getting their houses broken into right around, you know, 9 a.m. because everyone goes off to the kids and the work and they all hit the road. Right. And that's when the house is empty. And I thought, all right, but why don't you get back to that detail then? What's with pulling over the guy on the motorcycle?
Yeah.
Detail, which I like to say all the time, whenever cops are talking about all this Black Lives Matter crap and everything, cops, they go after poor people. Yeah. Poor people really get it.
That's
from
true.
Cops. Like,
you're right.
Guy wearing jeans with paint on it on Honda 404 driving through nice neighborhood at 8:45 in the morning.
Easy target.
Those are the guys who get pulled over because there's a good chance the poor guy's got some warrants and got some whatever. And I ended up just going to the North Hollywood holding tank, and I was just there till about three of my friends, everyone figured out $200. They got me out. I spent the next like 9 months like paying them back. I called Hoffman Travel and they fired me from the tank.
Did they really?
Oh yeah. I mean,
from the tank.
I would have assumed that they were going to fire me. I assume they must have. I don't think I was employee of the month, and they heard about this and That's fired it. Me. I think they just went, this is kind of the opening we were looking for.
Yeah.
Hey Matt, what is trying to picture it? It's not going to make sense to anyone. It's bad pod. I get it. But what is the route that involves the freeway, and how long can you be on that freeway?
Well, there's two different ways to go about it. Again, if we're talking about coming from Burbank, you'd have to make your way south till you hit the 134. You take the 134 to the 101, and then you'd probably get off at Laurel. And then
so you'd get on it for a stretch off of like Victory or something You'd get like a stretch and then get off and do Laurel the rest of the way.
Right. Or the other way to do it is to kind of do how we would go into Hollywood. So you take Forest Lawn to Barham, and then you'd hop on the 101 for just a couple exits and travel to Hollywood.
Yeah, but that's really not using the freeway.
So that 134 probably makes more sense.
But even that doesn't seem to make that much sense. Well, anyway, it was a long slog on a motorcycle. And
what are you thinking about when you're on that motorcycle at that time in your life? Are you just like, thank God I was with this girl last night, or I'm late, or what's in your head at that point?
Well, I don't have a watch, and I don't have a phone, so I probably don't know what time it is.
Yeah.
I probably know that it's going to take about 40 minutes. Now, half hour, 40 minutes, it's early, and I can make good time. I remember thinking there's always a cop waiting on the downside of Laurel Canyon, so don't get going too fast down that downside. Also, there's like a natural stream that kind of crosses, and people slide out and go and bash into this gate like all the time over there. So there's that. Don't hit that. And then the other stuff
is probably reciting some Foghat lyrics.
I'm thinking like it'd be nice if I had a truck to sit in or like a regular car. Like I'm looking at people with cars with air conditioning and stereos and stuff like that. Yeah. So there was a little bit of
It was aspirational.
I remember thinking I put a 4-into-1 pipe on the bike and it made it loud, and I was very self-conscious about getting on it, going through the canyon at 6:45 in the morning.
Waking
this
up
is loud.
People.
I'm going to wake people up. Yeah. I'm going to get the cops onto me. All the stuff I used to think about now, I think about safety. I think about my family, and I think about Simply Safe. Man, I've worked with these guys for such a long time. They had 10 employees when we started our relationship. Now they're protecting over 2 million people. Exciting news. They just released a brand new home security system. It's the all new Simply Safe. Smaller, faster, stronger than ever before. Completely rebuilt and redesigned with new safeguards against power outages, downed Wi-Fi, cut landlines, bats, hammers, you name it, it's indestructible. I just got the new system, and I can vouch for these guys. It is beautiful. It's the first security system that I really call fantastically beautiful. And you can check it out. You still get the 24/7 protection for only $15 a month and no contracts. And supplies are limited, so we got to get going here. Visit SimplySafe, two eyes in there, .com/Adam. SimpliSafe.com/Adam. So, Stromer, yes, sorry, Matt.
Well, I was going to say, if you want, we have a phone call question or an email question, or you can just chat with Stromer.
What's a phone call
question? So it just came in. It's about triangle plantation windows, or we have a video question about basement lighting.
Hey, Bill, triangle, okay. Ooh. Hey, Tina, 57?
Yes, this
What's
is
going
me.
On? Hey.
Nothing. I am at work, and I just had my boss explain that he searched. He's a do-it-yourself guy, and he searched online, and he could not find a single article on or anything on how to build plantation shutters on triangle windows.
Mm-hmm. triangle windows like the ones that would be up at the top in a in a barn or something like that? Or like
in his house.
Yeah, the triangle windows would be up on the
like above a picture window. You usually have those things in the architect, like modern, modern architecture.
And he wants to do a plantation shutter.
Which, right,
what's the difference between a shutter and a plantation?
The big thick
ones, the thick ones.
Yeah, the big thick one.
Uh huh.
On that. Yeah. Okay. Yep. So what? Well, okay. So Stromer, what? Let's figure this out if we were doing this.
I would do the, first of all, you'd have to build the shutter by hand, or you'd have to pay extra to have the manufacturer create the triangular frame.
Well, if I was going to do it myself, I would make a template of the inside of the jamb of the window. Like, I would take... What they'll do sometimes is they'll take that luon, which is a very thin material, and they'll cut it up into, like, strips.
The granite guys do countertop templates.
Four-inch wide strips, cut them, and make literally a skeleton template to the outside, or the right angle cut at the top and everything like that. So I would have a template. Then I would take that template, and I'd put it on a big work table, and I would say, okay, how much... would I like these shutters to overlap? Like, what are they overlapping? Are we going to go 4 inches wider than the template all the way around, or 2.5 inch, or how am I going to,
For the reveal of the window versus the shutter.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right. So I would take that template, and then I would decide on how much overhang.
Right.
I want to go past it.
Which sounds like about 1.75 inches.
Probably. Yeah. It depends. I don't know if there's some casing around the outside or stucco mold. Like, I don't know what the finish is. But I would figure that out.
Right.
Then I would figure out my hinging.
And the hinging, well, with the plantation shutters, they use long wires that go through the length of each slat. So then each triangular piece of shutter slat, obviously, you'd start from smaller and have to cut it all the way up to larger, and you'd have to do the wiring into those holes on either side of the frame.
Matt, show me a picture of a plantation shutter.
It's a huge job for a do-it-yourselfer.
Why do we need to do the wiring?
Because it has to louver on something. It has to swing and pivot.
Oh, it's swinging and pivoting.
Yeah. So those points go into...
But is he just doing an aesthetic here?
It sounds like he wants an operational shutter, doesn't he?
Operational.
Yeah.
Operational.
I think you would take that template to the shutter manufacturer and
that's
pay
what I would do.
15% more and have it done that way.
I'm with me on my template idea, but if these are going to be operational, movable shutters. So plantation shutters are just what I would call shutters.
Yeah.
I didn't know they called them plantation
shutters. They're bigger
slats.
Bigger, wider slats.
Wider slats. Yeah. Okay, yeah. I would, I got it. Tina, I would tell the boss, God bless you. I'd tell him about my luon template idea, and then I would tell him about Stromer's idea of taking that template to the guys who do the louvered shutters and telling them to go sick.
There you go.
Thank you. I'll also tell you to check out Geico. How about it, man? Geico. Save hundreds of dollars on your car insurance. You don't have to go anywhere. Just go to geico.com. 15 minutes, you could be saving 15% or more on your car insurance. Put that extra money in your pocket. Get some plantation shutters. Yeah. Why not? That's what you should do. Or a chainsaw. How about that? Go to geico.com. 15 minutes. You could be saving 15% or more on your auto insurance. It is Geico. All right. I want to tell you guys, Thunder Valley Casino in Sacramento. That is March 2nd. I'll be doing stand-up over there.
Sactown, the new film location capital of the world, apparently, thanks to Lady Bird.
Oh, really?
Yeah, now it's like a hot place to shoot feature films.
But they must have got a break, too, on some taxes.
Yeah, tax break and a beautiful thing we haven't seen before in movies. Anyway,
there you go.
Go ahead, sorry.
No Safe Spaces Tour, Tuesday, February 27th, Phoenix Grand Canyon University. Me and Dennis Prager will be over there. You can check out Chassis, two S's and a Y, and you can also check out Basic Cable Commentary. That's Thursday, March 15th, Oxnard, Levity Live. Just go to amcarolla.com or Carolla Drinks. Find out all the stuff you want. Stromer, what do you got?
Wait, what about the big New York City date? When is that?
That already happened.
What?
We're in the future, man.
We're in the future.
Oh, my God. Sorry.
All right. What do you got?
Hey,
That's my kid, I always ask at the beginning of the show.
When's this going to air? My kid's staying in college, thank God. Thanks to a snafu in the old application for financial aid. We're in. We made it.
Good. That's your plug.
That's it.
College. Go college.
Go college.
So until next time, Adam Carolla for Eric Stromer saying mahalo.
Subscribe on iTunes or visit aceontheroof.com. This is Carolla Digital.